In 2013, Robinson Cano was an all-star baseball player who left the New York Yankees for a 10-year, $240 million contract. You know where he went? He went to the Seattle Mariners. It was the third highest contract that year. So when Cano returned to New York for the first time to play the Mariners in April, or the Mariners were playing the Yankees in April, everyone knew that he would get booed by the Yankee fans. They didn't like that he had left them. So before the game, he made an appearance on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. And they took a cardboard cutout with Cano onto the streets of New York so that the Yankee fans could practice booing in front of the cardboard cutout. So what these fans didn't realize is that Cano was actually standing behind the cutout and waiting to surprise them. So when the fans think that they are booing this cutout, they are merciless. They boo and they shake their fists. They tell Cano that he's not welcome and that he should go back to Seattle. But then Cano comes out from behind the cutout, and in mid-sentence, everything completely changes. They begin smiling. They run up and shake his hand, give him a big hug, and welcome him back to New York. So I want you to consider this for a moment, the situation. Is there really any difference between talking about someone behind their back on social media or when it doesn't seem like there's any repercussions? Is there any difference with that or talking face-to-face with someone? I think for baseball fans in New York, it made all the difference. Do you and I resemble those baseball fans? Maybe you found yourself saying things that you'd easily say to a cardboard cutout, but you'd never say to a real person that's standing in front of you. You know, one's pretty easy. The other, a whole lot more difficult. And there's a reason for that. Because I think that deep down, you know that your words are powerful. And if you're a human being, you have almost certainly experienced being on the receiving end of those words. Someone has said something about you when you weren't around and it got back to you. And even if they didn't say it to your face, it still had a powerful impact on you. If it was a good word or a compliment or something that described your worth and value, it probably brought a real smile to your face. It may have given you a well-needed boost to your spirit. But too often, that comeback is not positive. Now, you might play tough. You might brush it off, a disparaging comment as saying, you know, it doesn't matter. Tell yourself that it's no big deal. But deep down, you know, it still stings. It causes damage to your dreams, to your self-image. It might even continue to be wounding your soul. Am I right? Is that your experience too? You know, research shows that this is actually pretty serious. When we take a careless hit, it takes a whole lot of positive comments to overcome that one belittling remark. So consider for a moment, if you would, the positive people in your life. People who have built you up, have invested in you, have taken time to speak life into you. And I want you to think carefully about the words that they may have spoken, or at least, if you don't even remember the exact words, the way that they used those words. Were those words spoken positively or negatively? Did they encourage you, or did they hinder or hold you back? Were they gentle words, or did they come across as harsh and angry? Did you receive those words as wise and helpful, or did they crush your spirit? Did they bring peace and calm and allow you to receive the needed and helpful correction, or did they cause you to be defensive and guarded? I'm going to suggest that in almost every case, you found people who built you up were people who patiently chose wise words. They carefully delivered them in loving encouragement and you knew that they had your best interest in mind. The words that you use make a difference. A 1930s British politician, Pearl Strawn Hurd, he famously said, "Handle them carefully, for words have more power than atom bombs." Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, he agrees. He says, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse word or a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." So whether you're talking face-to-face to someone or a cardboard cutout, what rolls off your tongue, it can bring death or it can bring life. So here's the big idea for today. This is kind of what we're going to talk about. The words that you speak can promote or block spiritual growth. So that can happen either in others that you're speaking to. It can happen to you, even in the words you speak. So let's not make this out to be more than it is. This message is really pretty simple. It is about the words that you say. And as a fully devoted follower of Jesus, your words must always, always, always speak life. So I learned that pretty early growing up, that what I said mattered. And when I said something I ought not to have said, I quickly learned that those words tasted like ivory soap. I maybe mentioned this. I remember my mother bringing me over the sink, bending me down, grabbing the bar of half-used soap and scrubbing it across my tongue. It reminded me that some words ought not to be said. And speaking them resulted in getting your mouth washed out with green soap. And I tell you, that green was not mint. My mom knew well enough that the words I said that day were not words of life. And I received a memorable lesson. And in truth, I actually need that message to be reinforced over and over and over again because it is pretty easy to slip. And those regular reminders for me come in God's word, like the passage in Ephesians today, 4:29, which says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk," say any. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth." None, right? Zilch. Zero. If you want to know how you're doing as a follower of Jesus today, like how am I doing today, then ask yourself this question. What kind of words are rolling off my tongue? What kind of words are coming out of my mouth? That'll say a whole lot about your walk with Jesus. So you might be wondering, wait a minute, what does my language have to do with spiritual life? Well, actually, according to the passage, a whole lot. I don't often quote Joel Osteen. He's a megachurch pastor, but I do believe that he got this part right. He said, "Be careful what you say. You can say something hurtful in 10 seconds, but 10 years later, the wounds are still there." So true. And that's what's at stake when the Apostle Paul, he writes this letter to the Ephesian believers. A little background on this letter shows us that Paul is comparing the old life, the life before Christ, with the new life, this new creation that we are as a follower of Jesus by faith in him. This new life that is lived out in this new community, which is called the church. And this new community, it actually lives differently. For example, some of the old practices that people did before they became Christ followers, they are now out. Paul lists a few of them specific to the circumstances of the Ephesian church, but I think, you know, applicable for us as well. They include lying, no dishonesty in the body of Christ. That's out. It makes sense, right? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So as Jesus' followers, the church speaks only the truth to one another in this refreshing openness because we are the body of Christ. Anger, that's out, at least holding on to it. It can be a big problem. Paul says you must not allow it to simmer overnight. You know, it's not that crockpot kind of deal. You got to get rid of it right away every day. And the way to do that is forgiveness and love. All these new ways of living have to do with building up relationships, maintaining good relationships with each other within the body. So therefore, stealing, that's out. Paul says you need to work for what you need and work so that you have extra so that you can help others that are in need because, of course, as the body of Christ, we're in it together. And that brings us to verse 29 and the words we use in this new life community of Christ. Paul writes, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." So in other words, anything other than what is helpful or building up or beneficial to someone, if that comes out of your mouth, you might get washed out with soap. Probably not. I'm trying to picture my mom trying to wash my mouth out with soap now. Probably not. But, you know, that would actually be better than what really happens. If your words are rotten, if they're harmful to others, they will be a barrier to you experiencing the new life in Christ. Let me say that again. If your words are rotten, if they're hurtful, it's going to be a barrier to your experiencing new life in Christ. And your experience of spiritual growth, if you're using hurtful words, will actually be blocked. Now, that's pretty alarming, isn't it? But it's actually what Paul ties together in this passage in verse 29 and 30. He says that the unwholesome talk described in 30 has an effect. He says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths." And then if we jump to verse 30, it says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit." So the expositor, author of the commentary, he talks about there's a clear connection in this language that's drawn out between the unwholesome talk and this idea of grieving the Holy Spirit. So when you and I use hurtful or harmful or bad language, it actually saddens the Holy Spirit of God. So if you have gotten the idea somewhere along the way, which, you know, some of us may have, that you can say whatever you want because it really doesn't matter because people should forgive you anyway, and certainly God forgives us all, then if that's your attitude, I think you've really gotten some rotten theology along the way. Because that kind of behavior, the careless use of words that hurt, however you're saying them in person or on social media or to a cardboard cutout, it actually grieves the heart of God. It's strong language. It's the language that's used when we talk about death, when someone dies. Grief is how unwholesome words affect God. And if it causes that kind of separation in our relationships, then it certainly causes for us a separation between us and the Holy Spirit. It's detrimental to our spiritual growth. So if your language is a barrier to the Holy Spirit of God at work in your life, then what do you do? What do we do? Well, the Bible says stop. It simply says stop letting rotten words come out of your mouth. In other words, go to war against your tongue. The book of James says the tongue is a restless evil, full of deadly poison, and it needs to be controlled. The unknown author says the tongue has no bones, but it is strong enough to break the heart. So be careful with your words. Paul says to be so careful that we do not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouth. So what qualifies here as unwholesome talk? Well, I think about that old piece of fruit that is in the bottom drawer of the fridge. You know the one, right? It got left there. It was like the last one when the new bag of fruit came. And, you know, it was still sort of kind of looked okay. So the new bag of fruit got thrown on top of it. And then you ate out of that new bag of fruit. And then when you got down to the old orange, it was like, ugh, yuck. And so you put another bag on top of it and just forgot about it. And by the time you actually get back to that piece of fruit, it's like so unrecognizable that you don't even want to touch it, right? It's kind of fuzzy. It probably smells a little bit. It's squishy. You need a rubber glove to touch it. It's probably poisonous by now. Now we kind of get the idea of what unwholesome talk looks like. Do you have one of those in your fridge, by the way? Yeah. It's like the rotten talk that deeply saddens the Holy Spirit, and it puts all kinds of spiritual barriers up. And therefore, The apostle says, completely get rid of that foul, unwholesome, poisonous talk. You know, it means bad language. If you have a habit of using four-letter words and bombing them around everywhere, then find new words, because it's poison. Remember, you are a sister or brother to Christ, and Christ is the living word. You have authority to speak life, so use words appropriate to the task. Unwholesome talk could be malicious gossip or slander, saying anything that injures others or sows division, that tears at the unity of the church. You know, that's the prohibition. Get rid of it. Stop it. Don't do it anymore. Don't do the harmful language. But there's also a do. Do this. Speak things that build others up. So Paul writes, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So helpful, building up, benefiting words. And here's the key to speaking words that bring life and that open up the Holy Spirit in your life. Say words that benefit those who hear them. Let me say that again. Say words that benefit those who hear them. That's not always easy, but it's critical. Mother Teresa understood this when she said, kind words can be short, can be easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless. They bring life, and life eternal. So do you want to see the Holy Spirit unleashed in the church in a way that everyone experiences powerful spiritual growth? Do you want to see that, Ashley?
Yes.
Good. Then continue to speak only words that build the church up and encourage others. So that certainly requires an intentionality. It requires timing. It means being present with others to speak the right words when those words need to be spoken. And it means holding your tongue when it won't have the effect of building others up. And when you do this, you are encouraging others. You are supporting them with good, healing, healthy words. And when you are lifting them up and building them up and holding them up in this way, the church is inspired. The church is strengthened. It is filled with hope and promise and peace and love. And when building up words are the language that you use, then barriers to spiritual growth go down. Your spiritual growth, the spiritual growth of others, and the relationship potential rises. See, I think deep down, you know that your words are powerful. They bring health or they harm. What you say makes all the difference in the lives of those around you. And your words are either building up or they are tearing down. You're either glorifying God or you are grieving the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul wants to be clear on how to eliminate the language barrier and set the Spirit free in our lives through our words. He writes, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Are you struggling with the language barrier? Maybe it's something that you felt like you had conquered at one point, but it's slipping back in. There's one thing to do, simply one thing. Get rid of it. How do we do that? Well, it's called repentance. It's called coming to the Lord and confessing our sin and trusting that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to heal us and fill us again with life-giving word. This is the real world. You do realize that when you're talking about someone, you're not talking to a cardboard cutout. Your words reach hearts and minds of real people. So speak words that are kind and loving and caring and positive and uplifting and encouraging and life-giving, and know for certain that your words change lives. So speak good ones. Please join me in prayer. Lord, this is a real challenge for the church today because we're made up of individuals, Lord, and it's a real challenge for each one of us. And so, Lord, we come before you today recognizing that all of our words have not always been the words that please you or that build others up or that are helpful. Lord, sometimes our own words have been hurtful and harmful and have destroyed. So, Lord, for those words spoken carelessly or maliciously or even in anger, Lord, forgive us. Cleanse us from those words. We are sorry. And Lord, as you forgive us, set us free. Fill us with your Spirit, fresh and new, so that we may speak words of life, words that build up, words that help, words that are for the benefit of others. And Lord, as we do, may others see you in us. May they call on you, Lord Jesus, and know the life that you give. And we pray all of these things for your glory, the living word, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.